say we go dancing.
I'm in.
Let's go dancing.
Okay, but not somewhere I'm gonna feel worse about myself when no one's interested because I'm fat.
Maybe the universe is telling me that I should fuck that cute virgin and give him the great first time experience that I never had.
That's not karma, that's statutory rape.
You're such a Sex in the City
podcast.
I'm a lost cause. Go on without me. Save yourselves.
Stop, you bitches! I called the cops!
Fuck my car!
Yeah, keep talking. I'll come down there and cut it off for you.
Gay boyfriends are the loophole of monogamy.
I'm a 34-year-old nerd.
It would have been a very different movie if Rose had been draw me like one of your French whores.
A better movie.
I think so. Or a really good porn parody.
Not enough. Definitely. Winslet body in that movie.
It's weird that it's a PG-13 movie, but there's full frontal nudity.
But yeah,
was
you
it
see,
PG-13?
Yeah.
It was, and you see her nipple.
Definitely see some nip.
Yep.
A young 13-year-old Daryl was definitely watching that VHS a lot.
Just there's one specific section that's just worn out.
Right. Why is this one part on the VHS we can't watch? Daryl.
Yeah, there we go.
And a 7-year-old Steve was also masturbating furiously to it. No.
Of course. So
some of us are early bloomers. There's no shame to it.
It's true. There's no kink shaming here. There's no
there's Daryl shaming. You should be ashamed
definitely.
Of being that person. No kink shaming. Yeah. Unless
right,
if you're fucking Daryl, then you should be very ashamed.
Yeah.
Well,
it's all the above.
On that note, April Lotshaw, you're such a Sex in the City podcast.
No, Daryl Williams. Guess what? Because of our very awkward formulaic beginning. You're such a Sex in the City podcast.
No, our guest this week, Steve Lardner, he's such a Sex in the City podcast.
I am, apparently.
Yeah.
You identify as that now.
I identify as that today. Definitely.
That, you know awesome. What?
Maybe in future from today. Who knows? This could be the start of a new identification for myself.
This is my favorite response we've ever had. Like, agreement is one thing, but saying I agree right now and maybe, like, you're opening my eyes to a new world, and we should have a parade.
I want to see that eventually on some sort of government document where it asks, like, you know, what type of gender are you?
Or male? Female?
Sex
you're such a Sex in the City podcast.
Yeah. Just those three. Get rid of the other.
Yeah. No, it's good. I mean, most, not to be hateful, but most trans people fit in one of those.
Yeah.
Sure.
We won't say which.
I'm transitioning from male to Sex in the City.
Yeah, exactly. To Sex in the City
it's
podcast.
It's a long process, but it can be done.
Yeah. One might say that it takes just over 2 years.
Yep. So, Steve, obviously, you're a huge fan, I assume.
Couldn't be more wrong, Daryl. Do you do any research on your guests for
no,
this podcast?
No, obviously most of our guests have not seen this show whatsoever.
Daryl usually Instagram stalks the guests,
right.
And I'm like, Facebook stalk them. They write things and expose their souls. And he's like, no, I just guess it from their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And swimsuit photos.
Right. Well, obviously, Steve's Instagram is nothing but like Sarah Jessica Parker photos and memes about Samantha.
I have a second Instagram dedicated to that. You must not have found that one.
I was like, that might just be your Instagram, Daryl.
Well, there might be a lot of Steve Lardners.
Okay, real question, though, to start out. Steve, we're friends, right?
Yep, I think so. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm in your studio.
What is your knowledge of Sex in the City so far, which can be either having seen the show or just from pop culture? You know, most people know at least the phrase, you're such a Charlotte or Samantha or whatever. What do you know about the show?
I think I have a little bit of both. I've seen, if I had to guess, probably 3 to 5 episodes just sporadically. No idea which season they were in or anything.
And these were like when it first aired possibly? Or
no, probably like mid to late 2000s.
Okay.
Maybe my mom was watching a rerun of it or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I saw one actually within the last 6 months. I was randomly staying with a friend in Michigan, mm-hmm. and they just had it on. She was starting from the start. His girlfriend was starting. I saw episode one. I've seen episode one.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
That's... So you know exactly, like, from the start, like, who Carrie is, who Mr. Big is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I know them all. Actually, Mr. Big is the one that I'm confused with.
Okay, what's confusing?
I'm confused. Is he the bald guy?
No.
No, he's the handsome guy.
Yeah, yes. He's...
What's the bald guy's name?
Stanford.
Stanford.
The gay guy, yeah.
The gay one.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was... I'm good on the girls. I have the girls right. down.
So you know who all the four girls are. Who would you say that you know enough to think, oh, I could be one of these four characters? Would you say you're most likely?
Or would you like to wait until after the episode like, okay, yeah, yeah. Oh, we'll bring this up afterwards. Yeah. I like it.
Well, you are.
I reserve the right to wait.
He's taking his Fifth Amendment right.
Because otherwise he will self-incriminate.
Right. So what would you say is like maybe your thoughts going in? Like, what are you expecting to see? Like, hoping for?
I mean, I know it was a fairly like smartly written show.
Yes.
I know it had fans outside of the perceived like single female demographic or whatever. Clearly.
It became like a whole like cultural thing.
It was one of the top, it's probably when it aired, one of the top three running half hour shows, right?
It was definitely very popular and it won like 6 or 7 Emmys.
Yeah.
So,
made some careers.
Mm-hmm. And definitely, like, I want to say, you know, Kim Cattrall already had, like, a pretty big career. Sarah Jessica Parker, she did, too. But this definitely put those two on, like, a solidified, like, no, they're known for this.
See, I would have assumed they had almost nothing beforehand, just going in. But I don't know why.
Right, that's the thing, is they got two big names for two of the four girls.
Okay.
So, and the other ones, it definitely, like, made their careers.
Yeah,
like, Cynthia Nixon was doing mostly, like, a lot of stage work. And then, I want to say Kristen Davis was doing mostly modeling, more so than acting.
Yeah.
And, like, buy that.
So.
Right.
She is
the hot one.
Yeah, everybody definitely wants to fuck her first.
There's only one hot one? There's two.
They're all hot. Like, they're all pretty hot, but if there's a hierarchy, the vast majority of guests we've had are into Charlotte the most.
Yeah, I would go Charlotte, Samantha.
Yep.
Carrie, and then, what's her face? Miranda.
Miranda.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's not unusual.
Sounds like a good order to me. So, before we get any further, let's have you listen to the elevator pitch, and it'll catch you up on what happened last week.
Ryan, how's it going?
Pretty good, April. How are you?
I'm good. Schoolmaster's in the house. Class is in session. Anyhow, Sex and the City. What happened on the last episode?
Oh, it was a jam-packed episode. They started off the episode with a classic opening, the pervert shot over the bathrooms. Women had their fucking panties around their ankles. They were passing toilet paper for no reason. And this fucking woman walks out of the stall having freshly handed toilet paper to her, you know, and fucking goes up to Carrie and makes a face. Because she recognized Carrie from being a writer. New York City, because it's New York City. Everybody knows everybody, you know? Small town. they go to a shit like the open mic of Broadway. It was weird. Fucking Miranda has a kid, you know, and shockingly, this baby cries. It's never happened before. Yeah, and it cries a lot. She can't sleep. It's a very unique problem to her. Shit gets weird. Her black neighbor comes down and is angry at her at first for never talking to her, and then becomes her friend for no reason and gives her a chair that basically shakes her baby to peace. Shakes her baby, not to completion, but to peace. Speaking of completion, Samantha, oh boy, does she like vibrators. But her vibrator fucking broke, so she had to go back to Sharper Image, where she found out her vibrator was actually a massage implementation thingy that you put on your shoulders.
Okay.
The man, old man, probably racist, definitely sexist. Oh, yeah, fuck yeah, he was white, obviously. He was being a real fucking dick about it. He was like, he was just trying to shame her. Samantha's like, fucking eat it. Like, this is a vibrator. This is what I use it for. Told other women, gave them suggestions on vibrators. What was the other one? Oh, yeah, Charlotte, she wanted to bone her divorce lawyer, and she's like, this is not going to work.
That
he's distracting.
Like her.
Yeah, but then she switched to someone who's Jewish, so it was fine.
Did she want to bone the Jewish guy?
Not at all. It was very...
How did you know he was Jewish?
Because he fucking loved bagels. I mean, they fucking introduced him as, hey, this is Harry Jewy McJewerson. Like some fucking super Jewish name. It was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable how unattracted she was to this Jew. It was just like, come on. Like, I know it's the late 90s, but let's like fucking...
It's Golden Blatch is his last name.
Yeah.
Wait, is that it? Yeah.
But anyway, you know, it all worked out. Samantha was being shitty about the other one's baby, and then Carrie's like, I have no right to judge anyone because I'm human shit, but you need to be better about this baby. Samantha grows up a little bit, grows as a person, goes, takes care of the baby, gives Miranda the fucking great-ass haircut. She fucking uses her fucking vibrator to soothe the baby. I won't say anything more about that. No more spoilers.
Probably shouldn't.
No, and then fucking Carrie confronts Nina, forgives herself even though she shouldn't, and
that rings true.
And then her gay friend hangs out with Heather Graham, and that's pretty much the episode.
That's a lot. They packed a lot into that half hour.
Hey man, it was a fucking great episode.
I gotta watch it.
Yeah,
thank
check
you.
It out.
Okay. I think we're ready, right, guys? Wasn't that a great recap?
Best recap of anything I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Ryan Schooley, thank you very much.
He knows how to recap an episode, for sure.
Sensational.
Hell yes, he does. Do you feel caught up on the plot and character development
thus
far?
What is more than caught up? Because that's what I feel. I feel ahead of the plot.
Oh, yeah.
Omniscient.
Omniscient.
Oh, all-knowing.
Like you already know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Well then, let's get into this episode, guys. After this break, we're going to talk a lot more about, you guessed it, Sex and the City.
And 9/11.
Yes.
All right, we're back, guys. Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that just a great episode?
I've been sold a horrible lie.
Who is that horrible lie?
That this is a decent TV show.
Wasn't that a mediocre episode, guys?
Yes, it was.
Let's get into it. Okay, so right off the bat, Carrie is going on a book tour. She's going across the U.S.
And, coincidentally, she's going to California where Mr. Big moved to do
what
readings there. Yeah, and she's feeling real sexy, so she's like, let's take the train. That'll be hot and new.
Well, when you do watch movies from, like, the 40s and 50s, it does seem luxurious to take the train.
We should open a brothel where the men are cute and the sheets are 500 count Egyptian cotton. Samantha, you can be the madam.
Well, at least it's something new.
We could put one in every neighborhood, like Starbucks.
Starfucks.
A place like that doesn't exist in reality because women don't think about sex like that. It's not an animal urge. We need to feel things. We need a connection. Isn't that right, Carrie?
Nope. Big is my male prostitute. I am mixing business with much needed pleasure, and my relief is just a train ride away.
A train? Why don't you just fly?
Oh, no. Flying makes me nervous. I get a little uneasy seeing the National Guard go through my makeup case. Besides, it'll be fun. Especially if Samantha goes with me. Oh, please. Come on. It'll be hilarious. Two gals on a train. Very some like it hot. And the whole trip ends with a luxury suite in a fabulous 4-star San Francisco hotel.
Why didn't you invite me?
Because Samantha's the only one who's bored enough to do it.
So what time do we leave Sam York?
I'm gonna get laid. I'm gonna get laid.
This is an absurd distance to take a train. I was appalled at just the logistics of this episode.
Well, obviously, this is like...
If you're going to Florida, it's like, I'm gonna take the train.
It's a 3-day trip. Like, that's a long train ride. Have you taken, you know, any extensive train ride?
I have, Daryl, and that's why I feel qualified to bash the logistics of this episode.
Please.
I have taken an Amtrak from...
Do tell.
From Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
To Connecticut, which is a decent distance.
Yeah, that's pretty much like the whole distance of like California, maybe, like going from like here to Frisco.
Yeah, yeah, it might even be a little bit more. It's hard, yeah, but it had a lot of stops as well. The worst part is that we'd have these transfers in like Savannah, Georgia, but they would be at like 3 a.m. And so you get like one train because it wasn't one continuous ticket, just whatever.
Oh my god!
Budget we had booked it, and so they would let you off in Savannah, and then the next one would start at like 6 a.m.
Right.
So you're there, you're just fucked. You're just 3 hours in the middle of the night, middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
What did you do to pass the time?
I remember a couple of my buddies found like a dive bar that somehow was still open at that time.
I could
but they
it.
Came back within like 5 minutes. They're like, "Yeah, we're not welcome there." No. We were incredibly naive to think you could just roll up into the kind of dive bar that's still open in Savannah, Georgia at that time of night.
Were they
with that kind of accent and be welcomed?
Yeah, so I remember it was just bleak. I just remember like sleeping in shifts, and then the other person would watch, you know, whoever's sleeping's luggage, so that they'd be okay because there's all vagrants around.
Right. Yeah, it does not sound fun. I took the Amtrak to like Arizona, and that wasn't a bad trip, but that wasn't a very long trip either.
Yeah. There's a lot of stops on the East Coast, a lot of metropolitan areas.
I do understand though, like. If you were going to go on a train, would you want to go with another person or would you want to do it solo? Like, I understand why she, like, wants Samantha to come with her.
No, I mean, definitely with... Yeah. I would want another person for a 3-day train ride.
Yeah.
If I had to do it solo, I would. But, like, if you're doing it for the experience, like, you could... take a plane flight, but you're like,
which
I'm
they clearly can. Yeah,
exactly. But you're like, I'm gonna take the train, and it'll be like some like it hot, and I will meet my husband here, and all that.
Well, I've seen some trains that like go from like, you know, Sweden to like Switzerland or something like that, like somewhere in the Alps where it's just so picturesque and so like from a fucking movie where you're like, are they on a Harry Potter train? I think they're, like, going to Hogwarts right now.
Yeah, that's a bit different as well, if you're taking it for the pleasure. But, like, that's not even... That's like, you're going through the worst
country.
Parts of the United States. Like,
totally.
You're going through Oklahoma. They mention,
you're stopping at Tulsa. You're stopping in, like...
I was going to say, you're talking about Europe versus America.
Yeah.
American trains have just been left to die.
Of course.
There's nothing historic about them left. There's no enjoyment there. It's just...
Well, they try to do a mass, like a high-speed rail from here to San Francisco. Or no, here to...
Oh, that's a shit show.
And then also here to Vegas. Like, those are two big plans that, like, got a shitload of money. Like, they literally got, like, billions raised, and then it just went nowhere.
It's amazing those don't exist. Because, like, in all other developed nations, their major cities are always interconnected by trains.
Of course.
Yep. Or even just, like, better public transit, like New York having the subway.
Right.
Like, you'd think L.A. would have something better than the Blue Line.
It's getting better. They are building up one that's coming that goes from, like, L.A. to Beverly Hills. It's like
Purple Line extension. I mean, they got to get their shit together for the Olympics, right? Because the Olympics are in 2028.
Something like that.
So I know that in order to get that bid, this has gone very interesting. But
pump a shitload of money into infrastructure, and then it's going to be great. And then as soon as everybody leaves, it's going to go to shit.
Also, it'll be good infrastructure exactly where you said, in L.A., and the Beverly Hills.
Yes, totally.
Because
so,
those people are going to ride the subway.
Yeah, those are the
who
ones...
Who the fuck is getting off in Beverly Hills?
Those are the ones who need it to get to and from work, like, day to day.
They're working in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
But they live in L.A.
That West Hollywood to Beverly Hills commute is rough.
For sure.
It's brutal.
I can see that.
Now, okay, what do we think about... Because Carrie's going for her book tour.
And
but
big.
That's the other thing, is that she is just like, she's just jonesing for some sex, basically.
Oh, yeah. She's
and
horny,
she knows,
man. She is fucking horny.
Yeah, she knows that Big is her, like, easy lay, and across she likes him. Yeah, she not that easy, but
what's even weirder too is that he gave her a plane ticket just
and
to
she
come
takes
out.
The train anyways. She
takes the train anyways. Like
just the. I'm fixed on this.
Yeah.
For some reason, she saw like Some Like It Hot or like fucking some movie with Marilyn Monroe and was like, I want to do that. That sounds fun.
That like romanticized it.
Yeah. And you're like, dude, that was an hour. Like, and they were on the, like, in that part of the movie, they were on the train for 20 minutes.
Yep.
Big whoop.
Do, what do we think of that whole scenario, though? Of what do we think of the, like, you're going to the city of a previous lover, and you're like, well, I'm planning on this to happen while I'm there, but, like, but also, that's a little bit presumptuous.
How long have you traveled for pussy, or to get laid?
How far?
I've done a somewhat similar...
You've gone across country?
I have a best-selling book. No.
So technically it was for the book.
Yeah. No, I went back to Idaho.
Okay.
Where an ex-girlfriend lives.
And, you,
and it was a little bit of that thing.
From
like,
California.
Yeah, yeah. I had moved to California since, but I was going back for like just a weekend.
Yeah.
And it was a similar sort of thing where it was like, oh, I'm presuming it. I don't know. Is she presuming it?
Right.
What's
going to
happen?
She has to assume, like, if you're going there, it's not just to be like, oh, I just want to check out those potatoes and, you know, hang out. Like, no.
But also, maybe, though, because it's kind of once you've moved away, if you're coming back for a weekend, sometimes people just visit. Or they're like, but I want you to know I'm engaged, or weird shit like that.
But you'd clearly been with this woman prior to this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
for a while, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but it's weird, though, because, like, I don't know
how... Did you already
how...
know that she was single? Or
well,
what, like...
well, I don't know if... how Big and Carrie had ended previously to him moving to San Francisco. Like, did one break up with the other, presumably, or?
No, they basically were like kind of not dating, but friends. And then, she'd just broken up with Aiden because, he wanted to get married and wanted to do it like right away. And she was like, how about we just, you know, keep it open ended? Like, we don't have to pick a date right now. Basically, like, let's never do it.
Okay.
And then Aiden was like, that means we'll never do it. And Carrie's like,
And then he was basically like, let's do it tonight. Or if you don't want to do it tonight, then basically let's break up.
Right.
And then she was like, well, guess we're breaking up. And then it turned into like she started hanging out with Big. They were just friends. And then he basically was like, hey, by the way, I'm leaving.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
California.
So they weren't in. They
no.
weren't Big. We're not. Okay.
No.
But it did look like, obviously, if he wasn't leaving, they'd probably start it back up again. Like, they were definitely kind of chummy and.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they left it that night, too, where they were dancing and they're in his apartment that was all empty. And there was a moment where they. I think they kissed, right? I think they made out for a minute.
That would have been better than anything we got in this episode. Oh, well, no, we got a little bit of Charlotte fucking. Not
that's
to skip ahead.
True.
Sorry.
That's true.
Yeah, no, we're going to get there.
But then also at the end of Carrie's storyline, they did end up fucking, so they did get to that. But should we get into that whole storyline with Carrie and Big?
It was honestly cringeworthy. It was very, she's like desperately horny, like uncomfortably horny.
I could see, like, her definitely being in and wanting to, like, bone, for sure. But then, what about him being super self-conscious about the book?
That's the thing, is that I'm like, I like it as a plot device. Mm-hmm. But then also...
You don't think a dude would really be doing that? Or
no, I just...
I can relate to it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like they're both equally convenient, though, of him, like, the night before being like, but this book, but I'm hurting you, and I, da-da-da-da-da, but then the next morning, he's like, I'll give you material for the next book,
right.
And you're just like, yeah, that's the Mr. Big we know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. What I was expecting all along.
That was that part was definitely relatable, because you're like, oh, I'm not going to have sex with this person on some sort of moral ground or because I'm hurt, but then you spend a whole night beside him, you're like, oh, geez, is this worth it? Like, I mean, I really just like to have sex here.
Yeah, they're here for another like 8 hours.
Yeah.
It's this or never.
I've kind of felt that way too, some way, in a similar way where I've done jokes about, you know, girlfriends that I'm currently dating, and they saw that set. And I didn't, like, obviously say, like, and they're sitting right there. Like, but yeah, I was, yeah, like, you know, they later came up to me and was like, is that about me? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, I don't like that. Or I was definitely, like, not into divulging that.
Had you divulged, was it just something that made them look bad, or was it just something that was, like, sensitive material?
I think it was, like, you know, she was a little bit the butt of the joke. It wasn't necessarily, like, her in a disparaging or, like, malicious kind of connotation, but it was, like, we're laughing at her, so to speak, for sure.
Because I've done jokes in front of my girlfriend, mm-hmm, and current girlfriend, and she's always cool with them, because anything that was disparaging, there's only really one that's kind of like she's the butt of, but mm-hmm, that one's false.
Right.
The rest it's of it's true, and it's kind of like it's fairly lighthearted, so I think she wouldn't see any point in like getting worked up about it. It's false, you know?
That's always one of those weird situations to be in, though, I think, as a comedian, especially if you're dating non-comedians. Mm. Like, it doesn't have to be super touchy, but it feels it could be very easily. Yeah. And it's that kind of like, well, what line am I going to draw in the sand?
Oh, like, it's definitely a fine line. Because you can't just, like, not, especially if you're dating someone for a while and you're a comedian, if you don't talk about that aspect of your life, you're closing off a huge material mine.
And yeah. But you hear so many comics that are, like, clearly, like, that's the majority of their act is, like, talking about their spouse or whatever. And, like, Jim Gaffigan.
I was just about to say.
He wouldn't have an act if he didn't have a wife, you know? Like,
Ray Romano does it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
a bunch, yeah.
And, but I feel like, yeah, obviously, like, they probably run the material, and his wife writes half of it with them, so it's not
Who, yes. Gaffigan's wife?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're co-writers. Mm-hmm. But that's what I will say, is there's something very different about that and about going on stage or on a book tour and writing an entire book about your observations about a person that they get to read once it's published.
Also, no pseudonym, right? Because I'm an idiot, or he's called Mr. Big in their friend group as well.
Yes.
So she could have in the book, she could have been like Mr. Large, or, you know, mm-hmm, she could have come up with
Mr.
some sort of
Mr. Above Average.
Yeah, Mr. And then he never would have known. He never would have figured it out.
Mr. Girthy.
Yeah. Right.
All the good ones. Okay, let's hop into some of these other storylines, because we had one brought up earlier, which is Charlotte's storyline, where she is meeting with her divorce lawyer,
Harry,
the shockingly Jewish man.
Oh, I didn't catch that. He was Jewish in this
Jewish,
episode?
Was he?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know.
You know what? Maybe that's my own bias showing through. Maybe I'm just putting labels where they don't belong on someone who is just... Yeah, no. I mean, I've known a lot of menches who are Mennonites.
I don't remember him saying every single Jewish phrase in the book.
You definitely could not get away with that now. If you have a Jewish character in a sitcom now,
I'm schwitzing like a crazy person.
So on the nose, but I still enjoyed it.
And speaking of martinis,
a zebra skin rug.
Hey, I talked to you as a bachelor.
But a bar in the bedroom?
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Huh. Ta-da!
Ew!
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Well, you seem to know your way around here.
Oh, yeah, I sublet while I was going through my divorce. Mm. Wait. Surround sound.
I can't believe that men think it takes all this stuff to get a woman into bed.
What does it take? Charlotte.
What?
I think you are the sexiest woman I ever met.
Harry, don't be ridiculous. I'm wearing my glasses.
It makes me crazy when you say my name.
Well, then I'm definitely going to stop saying it.
What a putz your ex-husband must be.
Trey was not
was
a putz.
Was a putz. If I was lucky enough to have you in my bed, I would never be able to take my hands off you.
Stop, Harry.
Ever since the first moment I saw you, I can't think about anything else. I'm like, I'm fucking Romeo over here.
God, it's hot. I'm sweating. Can you open the window?
I fantasize about your lips. Your perfect pink lips.
Big fan of this storyline.
No, me too. I love Harry.
Harry and Charlotte, this is definitely way better than like her previous marriage, obviously, with Trey. Trey was stupid. But
Trey was maybe in love with his mother. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
What?
We don't know.
But religion, ethnicity was Trey?
He was very white. He was very, what was he, like Scottish heritage,
yes.
But like his last no name accent. Was
non-distinctive
McDougal.
Kind of guy.
McDougal, yeah. McDougal. But he was just very white, and he was a doctor, and he took naked baths in front of his mom.
But he didn't have a Scottish accent. He was definitely like still from America.
Yeah,
but he definitely
McDougal is like one of those Irish last names that you would get out of an auto generator online. It's like
right?
If you go to Ireland or Scotland, you won't find people called McDougal.
Right, it seems like something on the side of a cereal box.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like I would assume the Mick is still like a popular like.
Yeah, this is where the problem arises, Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
Because people know the Mick is a thing, but mm-hmm. then they're trying to come up with fake Irish names for TV shows or whatever. They're
right.
saying, hey, let's just slap a name on that Mick. Instead of looking at what ones actually exist.
Mm-hmm,
like there's
mm-hmm.
an Irish pub in Idaho called O'Duncan's. Which is the same logic. It's just like, well, his last name is Duncan. Slap an O on that.
Sounds like more like a coffee shop that you could also get like booze at.
I know, yeah, yeah. I don't know, was it a rat?
That's just a Dunkin'
like a donut.
That's gone like off the grid, and now they serve liquor with
liquor
it all.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, they become O'Duncan's.
It's donuts with booze. It's,
yeah. That would
like
be better
that.
Than the place actually was, but yeah. I'm calling out McDougal as a bullshit name.
You were correct.
There's a McDougal Street in New York.
Hmm, okay.
Maybe it's a name that a few Irish-American families have, but I haven't heard
right.
it in Ireland.
Yeah, maybe it's more of like a Scottish-American type of like...
It's like an,
hybrid,
like an Ellis Island, like, you know,
they fuck it up.
Read
the papers wrong. Yeah,
it was just Dougal, and they're like, how about we put a Mick in front of it? That makes it more
It's like,
ethnic.
You don't look Italian, you don't look Polish... You're calling yourself Dougal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going with the mix.
Yeah, we're going with Scottish. That'll, you know.
How popular is Lardner in a...
Very unpopular, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a kind of an obscure one. It's just from the west of Ireland. There was a famous boxing commentator called Ring Lardner in the States in like the 1920s, 1930s.
Yeah, I don't even think I've heard it over here that often.
I've never heard it.
No.
But I've never heard my own last name.
No, Lotshaw.
Not
nope.
family, Lotshaw.
Yeah, obscure as well. Williams,
I don't know
definitely.
What that is.
I've heard that everywhere.
Williams,
I mean,
that's the thing. That's like Johnson or Anderson or whatever. What are the Scottish versions of that? Of like...
Irish, you mean?
Irish, yes.
McCarthy is very common.
McCarthy?
That's my mother's maiden name.
Sure,
okay.
sure.
O'Connor...
okay, yeah.
Yeah, what else do we have? McNamara is another common one. So there are some very common Macs, but
what about, well, I would assume Gallagher.
Yeah. Gallagher, Fitzgerald.
Right.
Yeah. Casey. Oh. There's a bunch, yeah.
Well,
Joyce,
we could go on and on.
I would assume. No, sorry.
We list them all.
I will say though, like we can get back to Charlotte, but the one character that didn't really get a lot of play this episode was Miranda. She was kind of left out of this episode.
I would say no play. She answered the phone once.
That's all I saw. She was in a phone call.
That was her like line of the episode, and the rest of the time she was on vacation.
Mm-hmm, still probably mm-hmm. got paid her $400K or whatever they
easily.
Were on, though.
She got her episode minimum.
Oh, definitely. No. She did. But this was definitely like a certain character's heavy episode. Miranda was completely left out. I think Carrie and Charlotte had the major plots of the episode. Samantha was there for the ride, but she was there to basically be like, why aren't men paying attention to me?
I think this just proves
like
how much the writers do not know how to write people that have kids. Probably the writers didn't have their own kids. I don't know, but it just seems like, I don't know. Miranda seems like we don't know what to have her do.
She's
like,
just at home like, with like eating chips or something
mm-hmm,
on the couch.
Like,
yeah, she's like, she's drinking a beer, watching TV, ignoring her baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do with your baby?
But I will say, going back to Charlotte, how awesome was that fucking bachelor pad?
Oh my!
Great
with
scene.
The zebra skin rug.
It almost was like, oh, like too much. Like if I was a set decorator, if I was like a director, and I was like, okay, I want this to look like a bachelor pad,
like a shitty yeah. classic bachelor pad that's all about getting pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd almost be like, okay, that's, this is too much. Like,
I feel like they would have a great time though. Like, that's the kind of episode where the set directors are having fun. They're
of
like,
course.
We gotta make this bachelor pad. What else can we put in it?
That's their one moment where they're like, I get to shine.
Yeah,
like, like, what if there was a zebra rug? And you're like, I don't even know that exists.
Like
get
yeah.
ordered.
And I love how I love how impressed she is with the surround sound as well.
Yeah,
right. Because
it's such an early 2000s thing that people got in their house.
He presses the button to close the blinds automatically, and she's like, "This really is a bachelor pad, isn't it?" And he's like, "Yeah, you think it's a bachelor pad? Guess what? Dolby surround sound. Boom! Turns it on." And then she's just like, well, this is ridiculous. And he's like, I've wanted to have sex with you since sex want to have sex with you. And she's like, stop. And he's like, still want to have sex with you. And she's like, no, don't keep saying that. And he's like, want to have sex with you. And she's like, how could I resist? And she just is all over it.
Yeah, that part was a little unbelievable.
I feel like that's a TV show thing. Like, that's never worked, at least with me.
Yeah.
I've never, like, professed my love and they're like, that makes, I'm in. Yep.
Yeah. And also because she was not into him in the beginning.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, if anything, she could be into a guy and he does all this love professing and that would turn her off.
Right.
This is like, it right. just makes no sense on both angles.
No, she's just like, it's the room. It's the bachelor pad. She got taken over.
I would also like to point out that clearly this bachelor pad was like on viewing for them. Like, it's not his bed that he's
very
sullying with their sex.
No.
He's like, you could fuck me on this bed right now. I'll never tell my friend who's trying to sell this place. And
I
she's
that
like,
might have added something for her.
That,
though. That might have added a little bit of
danger.
Yeah,
of course. Like, who hasn't gone to an open house and fucked?
All right, Darren.
I haven't.
All right.
Whoa, big, nobody?
I haven't.
Nobody? Oh, okay.
Have you?
Big man sex god Darren.
I know, right?
I will say I went to an open house once just for shits because we literally just wanted to get the free food that was going to be there. And then also, after we left, we did hook up in the car.
That's just not the same.
That's not,
it's
not even close.
I wouldn't even say that story is closely related enough to have brought up.
Okay. Okay, listeners, forget that I said that. We'll just pretend I was not talking about that at all.
Daryl Williams, he's hooked up in the vicinity of open houses.
Yeah. Yep. Not really done anything of what Charlotte and Harry did.
I once went to the movies and came home and fucked afterwards. Have you fucked at a movie theater?
Hey, dude, you haven't had anything until you fucked right after coming home from the beach and there's still the sand in your bathing suit and it's real uncomfortable.
Super hot, yeah.
It's just like that movie.
That's why they call
it almost exactly the same.
Cocktail sex on the ride home from the beach.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's pretty much the same. I pretty
exactly.
much. Now we're all the
sex on the ride home from the beach. A Paramount production.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be in 3D. Okay. So, what else?
So the other main character we haven't gotten to is Samantha.
Well, I was gonna say
I wanted
to bring up the idea with Charlotte and the you know, basically he's just a fuckboy, or like we're gonna just keep this relationship not about like. Relationship. It's just about sex.
Because that's the thing. I do like that, actually, because you can see Charlotte having that internal battle, and you can see how difficult she's finding it, like how poorly she's handling it, where he's just like, you're beautiful. I love your lips and your laugh and your soul. And
right.
she's like, I love your hard penis.
That was a good line.
In my bed. And he's like, okay. And she's like, you don't have a face or name. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, it's almost like
do you
want like
to go to the movies? And she's like, no, I would never go to the movies with a disembodied penis. He's having such a hard time with it.
She's trying to like follow the playbook of what am I supposed to do with just a hookup. Oh, now I'm supposed to get rid of him because he just came. So
right, and she's the bleeding heart romantic. So I actually liked how they played that up because like it would be that hard for her to just be like, no, I'm gonna be like the other girls, and I'm gonna be able to just use a man for good sex and then walk away. And she's there, and she's like glitching like a computer program that's run across an error in his code. Like, what do I do now?
Yeah, it's very foreign.
And that's when she goes to Anthony, the gay best friend, and is all like, teach me how to be a whore.
And then she fails at that, too.
Mm-hmm. I like, though, that she doesn't bring up the fact that, like, I don't want to date him because he's Jewish.
No, it's just he's unattractive.
Yeah, it's just unattractive.
He's
or
just
whatever. Like,
schwitzing all the time.
Yeah, like she's like, and he's not that attractive, and he keeps bringing up all these like Jewish idioms.
Yeah, she's like, I feel like he's not a man. I feel like he's a caricature. I'm not attracted to that.
I feel uncomfortable that we're even doing this character in the show.
Right? Right?
This is not on script. This is the actress speaking.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be doing this. I don't want to have a sex scene with him where he talks about being circumcised. And he's like, oh, oy vey. And I was just like, stop it.
They're like,
you're a human being.
He like plays the scene first, just like really plain. And then like, they're like, come over here. Let me one quick note.
Okay.
Can you, for a better word, Jew it up a little bit?
Like, put on a yarmulke? Are you talking about like the
Ben Shapiro Jew it up?
The internal character, you're saying, like, he should have that kind of sensibility about him, yeah?
I'm talking about more so, like, say, oy vey, and like, man, I'm schwitzing like a pudding cup.
Putz as well. At one point, which I enjoy.
Yeah,
they probably just said, "All right, let's take lunch. You go to the nearby deli, hang out with those dudes for an hour.
Better
come back and just spit out whatever you just heard.
No, better yet, jargon. Live with them for 1 to 2 years.
Right,
and then take everything they say and make it into a weird cartoon.
Like,
and
do
be
you
that.
Think he is really Jewish in real life?
No. Because he would have not taken that role because he would have found it offensive.
Oh, good point. Very good point.
He's definitely like just a normal white guy. Maybe even like Armenian or something.
Right. He's like, maybe this is what they're like. Maybe this is a very thoughtful representation.
Mm-hmm, it's hard to remember where culture was. You said this episode came out in 2001?
I think 2001, 2002 at this point.
Around there.
Did people give a fuck?
Probably not.
Not that much.
Not
that much.
Well, there was definitely like still a push where it was like just actors being actors. Like it wasn't like, oh, this person has to be this person in real life to play that role.
Also, like, you may have noticed from this episode, they didn't spend a ton of time in New York, but it is a common thing that Sex and the City's New York is very white. It's almost 99% white people.
Yeah. But he is Jewish, and later, spoiler alert, she's going to become Jewish, too.
So that she can marry him.
Yep. Because he's super like, yo, if you're going to be in my life, you got to convert, woman.
Yeah, they're kind of big on that, the Jews, aren't they? That's what I've...
Yeah, they're not really big on, like, let's date outside. No, it's more like, let's date close together. But not family.
In the world of Sex and the City, that's a deal breaker, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's now get back into Samantha.
Oh,
kind
yeah.
Kind of really a, more so like a side piece to side Carrie's piece, line.
She has a very like fluffy side piece where she's bored with things. She's having a quote-unquote midlife crisis, which she's older than the other girls, so it fits.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, I'm bored of everything. New York, it's all the same stuff. It's all the same men. I fucked everyone already. What now?
Yeah,
that was kind of ridiculous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for her, it makes sense, though, because she kind of has fucked everyone.
She has, and obviously she has gotten off like kind of a decent relationship. Like,
that's the other thing is she is post breakup, which is rare for her
with the father of the baby. Or
no, that was Miranda.
That's Miranda. We're talking Samantha.
The older woman.
Oh,
that was
sorry.
Kim Cattrall.
Yeah. No, no. I know who Samantha is. I thought. Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
No.
Yeah.
It's.
No.
But point being, she's the one having the
apologies,
big like
fans.
Crisis thing. That,
right,
well, they
right.
won't accept them. You're banned from the community. But I guess we need to finish this podcast just for posterity's sake. Even though it's an embarrassment to us all.
You should book better guests. I think that's what the lesson is here.
Don't talk about yourself that way.
Steve, you're very
You're a
treasure.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so
you're bringing diversity to, like, we've had, like, gay guests, like, black guests,
it's
Asian
true.
Guests, trans guests, but you're bringing diversity.
I'm all
five.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody look that up ever. No, you're bringing diversity to our accents on the show.
Pretty. Mm-hmm. I'll try and really accent it up for the last
have
half.
Have you
an hour.
Ever? Have you tried to do an American accent?
I think I can do a pretty good one.
Okay, let's tell me. Have you read the New Yorker this morning? The stock markets are crazy. Say that, but in an American accent.
Have you read the New Yorker this morning? Stock markets are crazy. See, there's a lot of different ones. I'm always like, which American do you want me to do?
It's pretty good, though.
I don't know who that person is, but I hate him so much.
Dude, my Netflix down 10% today. Subscribers are just not picking up last quarter. I don't know. That's almost like a bro stock trader.
No, I like that.
Right?
Like, dude in board shorts who's also like following the stock app.
He's got
religiously
board shorts.
On his phone.
He's got board shorts, but he's got a button up with a tie. Mm-hmm. You know,
he
it's tied
like
a double Windsor knot.
Exactly. Like, hey, when it's high tide, I just like close up shop.
Yeah. Dude,
but
the
I'm
stock
there.
Peaked on high tide. I was getting barrels, man.
Yep.
You know what though? Man, I'm there when the bell rings.
Yep. No, that's
so what I do
good.
In my time, no one's business.
Are you always upset when you hear people try to do Irish accents?
No, I wouldn't say I get upset. I always just kind of laugh and shrug because they're usually pretty bad.
It's never good.
Yeah,
it's never
usually
like,
pretty
oh.
jingly. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There we go.
I feel like, yeah, I would want to do one, but it's definitely, I feel like it'd be more insulting than like, oh, that's pretty good. Like,
it's because your Irish character just habitually uses the N-word,
that's
right?
That's true.
Yeah. It's just an excuse for Daryl to vent his N-word usage for the week.
Just his race hate. Like, wait, it's not me, it's the character.
Wait, the Irish don't say this?
I thought that was all of them. I watched
Rampant.
Peaky Blinders.
Right? Oh, man.
Oh, man. Oh,
okay.
Anyhow, Samantha.
Yeah, so she's,
yeah, where were we?
She's trying to get laid on the train, and obviously she runs into a bachelor pad or bachelor party that's the least bachelor party ever.
I have thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Let's
okay.
hear
so
them.
So there's, I don't know, how there's like 9 people in this bachelor party, is that right?
Definitely, all middle-aged dudes.
Give or take, Samantha comes in looking hot. She like struts around the place, and none of them go for her.
No, because they're all married except the one dude that's about to get married.
Okay. I'm saying, though, these men are being put on too much of a pedestal. If there is 8 married dudes on a bachelor party in the middle of fucking Oklahoma.
No
and
shit.
And this hot New Yorker, Kim Cattrall, one of them is cheating.
Of course.
Like, one of them is going for her.
Of
this is
course.
Ludicrously unrealistic.
It's also because, like, you have to assume, like, one of those guys has to statistically be unhappy as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only on this bachelor party because it is my one chance to be away from my wife for fucking 2 days.
And they've been locked on this train. It's like the worst bachelor party ever. You're just stuck on a train
shit.
For 2 days.
No shit. I don't feel it's realistic at all. I feel like Samantha, though, like, she didn't try hard enough. She kind of...
Yeah, she did one lap.
Yeah.
She did one lap, nobody bit.
She didn't, like, wait until they were, like, 8 beers in or whatever either. Like, they were pretty much, like, sober as fuck
also,
still.
Also, I love
like,
how the whole bachelor party is a 2-day train ride just to go to a Giants game.
No shit.
It was the lamest bachelor party ever.
Who would want to do that?
I will also say, though, on Samantha's behalf, having glanced over that bachelor party based on the dudes she's fucked, I'm not sure any of them are worth a second pass around.
Nah,
like,
she would have been better.
Which makes it even more unbelievable that none of them would fuck her, because they would all be...
Right, they should all be so lucky.
This would have been like the best lay they've ever had.
Yeah,
I mean,
lay.
Theoretically. But I also feel like Carrie, she looked comical, looked like a fucking doll. She looked like a... with her rosy cheeks. I understand she was trying to like hide the pimple, but still.
Overcompensating.
Does this feel like a good segue into fashion?
Yeah, let's do it. Fashion.
All right, we like to talk about the fashion of the episode. If any outfits or anything stuck out to you,
well, right off the bat,
I have a take on this as well. Go.
I want to say Charlotte's outfit.
Yes,
the workout outfit,
unbelievable,
so fucking hot.
There needs to be a Charlotte workout outfit at Lululemon today.
No fucking way. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Unbelievable. She looked amazing.
There is. You guys just don't know about it.
Yeah.
But I like that sports bra where it was kind of not sports bra-ish, but it kind of was. Like, I don't know. It was like...
It was weird because she actually wasn't showing much at all. Like, it was cut way above, like,
it was
way
just,
above the cleavage line, but it was just that hoodie was on as well. A little bit of shoulder.
No, that was the thing. Was it was the hoodie, and it was the fact that the hoodie
the abs,
was yeah. like completely open. Like, you could see where she was going to zip it up to go out jogging, but like, she hadn't yet, and she was just like, oh, I was going to...
And I do like that.
And then she had this putz come in and start schvitzing all over divorce papers.
Definitely. But I also like Harry's outfits. He definitely kind of sticks to this like purple motif.
Oh, I didn't even
pick
on that at all.
I don't know what it is, but he always seems to be like in purple stuff. Like
what? Also, I'd just like to point out, you will when you watch the rest of the series, because I'm sure we just whet your appetite with this episode.
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm
you're
going
to totally
watch the rest of it.
You're going to be hitting up your girlfriend going like, babe, let me tell you about this great show.
She is actually a fan.
Of
course. Yeah, I was chatting to her earlier today about it.
That's, hey, you know what? Another way to connect with your loved ones.
No. Yeah, like when you're about to like, you know, get in the mood, you just go, shh, let me put on something. And then you put on, you know, fifth season, episode 5, 6.
I'll just have that scene cut. The master pad scene cut. And just have it ready. Because then that's a quick 5 minute, you know.
She's going to look at that and then she's going to look at you and be like, did you just get handsomer?
Yeah. He's looking better than this guy.
It's perfect. On that note, I do want to point out the very beginning of the train journey fashion thing that I noticed, which I'm not sure, at least to me, this really stuck out because. When they're getting on the train and it's just starting out, I saw this as part of Carrie's romanticism. I feel like she was dressed kind of in like a flapper dress with like the little hat and her hair done like that.
Sure.
Like, it felt very period to me.
You guys are so observant. I'm impressed.
Her hair was definitely a little like from the 30s as well.
I did like the hair.
Also, we've seen it like 5 times.
Okay.
So.
Well,
yeah, we watched this shit a lot.
Yeah, we started this podcast after watching this series through each at least twice.
I think that's the rule, though. If you watch it twice, you start a podcast on it.
Yeah, you have
to. You know where to go.
It's a rule.
Yeah. There's what else
I just,
you gonna do?
I'm just here because I don't want to go to jail.
This is your community service, yeah.
No, this is like, they're like, you can start a podcast or you can fucking get behind those bars. And I'm like, I'm not ready for the clink. So here I am, podcasting with Daryl and Kitty. And you!
Well, that's
awesome.
I like
awesome. How I'm after Kitty in that list.
Mm-hmm.
She's the official, unofficial third co-host.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't add a lot, I'll say that.
More fashion. So the first outfit that she read her book... like reading was like a blue outfit. I like Carrie's outfit then.
Well, also though, that's her evening when she's trying to be slutty for Big. So
definitely.
She has the like black top where
yeah,
she's
yeah, no, I remember
like,
that one.
Ooh.
That was good.
And then it's got like a brooch type of thing too, like in the center.
Yeah.
Does the outfit matter though when you just have this veil of desperation covering it?
Probably not.
That's okay. Okay. Real quick.
Which is not, I mean, listen. Both sexes can be desperate.
No. Here's my question though, because I think we've all been Carrie in that situation.
Yes.
But I would like the male perspective on this. Is like because you always hear about men being desperate or men being over eager or whatever. What are your thoughts on like? Women in that situation who are like, I just want to, let's just hang out, but alone and naked. And but like someone who's like clearly coming on too strong, but it sort of is, it's not the exact gender situation that's played out in media usually.
Yeah, it's a flip. And I I think it can be really sexy if they're just like assertive,
of course,
and kind of like let's do this. But she was always coming from a point of like groveling.
Yeah,
it never came from a part of like I want you now, or like you know like pin him against the bed. Even though those are kind of like ridiculous tropes, but
yeah,
from the start she was it just felt begging, which isn't
right.
attractive. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
but they can
super
still be
true.
The one initiating. That's great.
Yeah, but
that's
like
fantastic.
The
yeah.
desperation thing though, that's like that can go one of two ways.
Yeah,
and
it's probably a fight.
That's the
a
thing
tough
though, is
battle.
That the weird thing about it was that he wasn't wanting to not have sex with her because he wasn't attracted to her. He's like, I don't want to do that.
No, he was still into it.
It's like I'm just at a crossroads because I'm like super conflicted about like is this gonna be put in the book or like. And he's just kind of
yeah,
grappling the book thing more so.
Yeah,
it wasn't
right.
like, I don't want to be with this woman. Like, if it's, that's where it gets tricky, where it's like, no, I don't want to do this.
That's, I would like to point this out though, just on that same note, that because he had sex with her in the morning, because the night before he's having all these, like, existential quandaries and guilt where he's like, I didn't realize how much I'd hurt you.
Right, right.
And I don't want to do that again and this and that. But by the next morning, he was like, I didn't hurt you that bad. It's fine.
Well, usually guys are like that. That's definitely very true where it's like, you just need a little bit of time to process it and then you just get over it. And then it's like, well, she's still fucking banging and I
can't. No, I think it's that you're horniness is like a well, or it's like a oh, what do you call it? Not a sinkhole, but oh, like a geyser, geyser, geyser,
geyser,
geyser. I think we might call it
geyser.
Geyser
is an old person.
Geyser is like an old geyser over there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but it's a little. This is a little gross, but it's a little bit like a geyser. Like he might not have been that horny at night, and so his convictions can override his hormones.
Mm-hmm.
But then if he's letting himself, you know, 8 more hours pass. And he slept on those convictions. I think he just wakes up with morning wood. And he's.
I feel like geysers and geysers are the pretty much the same thing, though.
Do you, Daryl?
Yeah, they like are really old.
And they shouldn't be allowed to drive cars.
Yeah, and they you know squirt out fluids randomly. You know, at odd times.
They're
okay, more. I want more geyser geyser comparisons. I want to see how far he could take it.
Yep.
They smell like salt.
That's true.
You find them in Yellowstone National Park.
Exactly.
That's very true.
They're also, a lot of people, you know, come to look at them.
But also they've been abandoned by the American public.
It's true.
Yeah.
And they're subsidized by the government.
That's
and they only get
true.
Action every few years.
Exactly. See? So much the same. We should just turn it into one word. They should just be the same thing. Anyway.
Geyser.
What about other fashion?
Okay.
I want to say her second book reading, she looked like an old woman.
No, we all had, I'd like to say, we all had a visceral reaction to her second book reading in the puffy pink shirt that also had, like, the shoulders cut out.
A granny,
kind of.
I believe Daryl called it a granny outfit.
Yeah, she looked like a hot aunt.
No, that's what I was like. She's like a hot grandma because she's still showing the shoulders, but all the rest of it is grandma.
Yeah. I still, even with the shoulders, I don't think that buys her out of that one.
No,
That was a poor call.
The only thing that would be better is if she had like glasses too, to like just her reading glasses that were like just on the brim of her nose.
And they were wire rimmed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, say it again.
I think that's your girlfriend's job.
But also, what about some of Samantha's outfits? On the train, she was kind of like in that, like...
She was kind of, before the bachelor party, she was kind of looking like a hot mess. Like, literally,
Hair was all over the place.
Hair was very messy.
Even the day leading up to that point had been such a disappointment to her that she was kind of losing it, was the feeling that I got from how she looked. Even Carrie had, like we brought up before, the blush. Even Carrie had more makeup and more, like, hair done and was more put together for the bachelor party that Samantha dragged her to. Because Samantha is, like, going, essentially, she's, like, I feel like on this train ride, Samantha was just really dick hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, she was, what is it with drug addicts? She was
fiending.
In...
Fe-
Yeah, she was fiending for dick.
Fiending, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, I mean, yeah, who hasn't been on a train in Oklahoma with a bachelor party fiending for dick?
Oh, man. If I could have another podcast just about that, it would be amazing.
It would cover so much more of your life, Daryl.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, though, what else? Oh, yes, the other note I was going to say was some sweet underwear in that one go-go dancing room.
Oh, yeah, the gay dudes club or whatever. In their, mm-hmm. like, tight little booty shorts.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I could definitely go for some of those.
Is this UPS? Because I see some packages.
That didn't need to be delivered in my mouth.
I love the delivered. Way that's where she had to have the catch-up with her friends.
Of course. Well,
you
want to
get coffee, you want to go...
We could either go here or Starbucks. It's one or the other.
I do like that he pointed out, she's just like, what if you have really hot S-E-X? Mm. And he's like, you can say it here.
Yeah. Right.
There are men shaking their genitals in your face. Say the word. What you're saying is terrifying. Just say the word.
Right. Like, there's no kids around here. You don't have to buffer it.
Also, this is like her gay best friend, this dude?
Yes.
Yes, Anthony.
He's a, kind of like a wedding planner, also like interior decorator, designer. Like, he does a lot of like hats.
Your standard gay best friend character.
Definitely.
Basically.
He's whatever gay stereotype you will hire him as.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like his advice maybe didn't fit. Shouldn't he be telling her, like, you're super hot. You can go have a fling with anyone.
Yep.
Like, rather than having a fling with this bozo.
No, he was just like, ugly sex is the best sex. And she's like, I guess so.
I also feel like, he's definitely, like, coming from a gay guy, like, there might be a skewed view on, like, your ideas of, like, who you should be sleeping with and who you shouldn't be. But I do understand, like...
Unpack that more.
Yeah.
That hate fucking, though,
is... Explain it, Daryl. Yeah. Explain what you just said.
Gaze, hang on. Hang on for Daryl's take here. If you're listening, Gaze.
You might want to rethink how you've lived your life up until this point, when our expert on the scene tells you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you know, he's all for it. Like, he's never that person that's going to be like, I don't know, Charlotte. Maybe you should think about it. It's always like, what? Fucking you... Yes, it's always yes, 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 yes. Like, you should always...
It's like a flowchart with him. Is penis involved? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, is someone orgasming? Great, do it again. Do it again,
like,
forever.
No matter what she would say, like, it wouldn't be like, oh, he's kind of ugly. Like, he has that rebuttal, like, what? Ugly sex is the best sex. Like, she could have said, like,
what?
Oh, he's kind of into pirate play. Like, what? Pirate play is the best. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Homeless sex is the best sex.
Yeah, like, no matter
what. I should know.
No matter what she said he was, he would definitely be like, what? That's the best. Yeah. Go for it. And I don't like that. Like, maybe that's a gay trope. I don't know, but, like,
I mean, this episode is just a trope after trope. Train tropes, gay tropes.
Right, right.
Yep.
So tropes.
Trope heavy episode.
But I would assume that's the thing. Like, in real life, most gay guys would be like, I don't know.
They would be, if anything, judgier.
Right. Like, I don't know, Charlotte. Does he have a huge dick?
Does he have a big dick? What's his bank account like?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What's the family situation?
But also, I could understand, like, him being on that side of, like, once she says, like, it's really good, he would definitely be like, well, just, keep doing that.
But that's the same thing also, where I'm like, I feel like that was good advice for someone who's not Charlotte.
Right.
But for Charlotte, maybe it is good advice, but it just is too far
for
her to reach.
Well, it's not her. It's like,
yeah,
she'll try it because she's very malleable. Like, she's very easily told what to do from her friends and loved ones. But then also, I feel like she does kind of have like a certain stance where she'll like only go so far, but she will be coaxed and negotiated with. Like,
yeah, no.
You've seen this show a few times?
Mm-hmm. Oh. You can convince her.
Yep. We saw the show a few times, each of us, independently before we even knew each other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
I
how we became
with my
friends.
Girlfriend, pretty much the whole series.
Sorry and to then, put across to you. You became friends
just on the basis of this show.
Yes.
Wow, that's you probably mentioned this in previous podcasts.
It's okay. No, because we'd be at open mics and stuff, and we realized that we both have a very unironic, very honest adoration of Sex and the City, and so we're both just kind of like, I don't want to drive to any further mics, but I don't want to go home. It's like, you watch Sex and the City? And I was like, you have HBO? He's like, yep. And I'm like, hell yeah, I do. And then we just start hanging out. And this whole thing started as a joke. And 2 years later, arguably, it's still a joke.
But on that note, final thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. What were your thoughts on the episode? What you took away from it? What you thought?
I was coming in with a good open mind on the show. I still think it's probably a good show that I would like
each week,
but I think this is not a good episode.
You're also right.
You're right. I mean, there's going to be like every TV show, hits and misses, or just like, okay, I resonate with this. I'm not saying this is bad, but not as great or not as cool, in my opinion.
I will say last week's episode was amazing, but the last like several weeks I haven't paid close enough attention, but I was like, I think the train episode is coming up, and I know I specifically don't like that episode.
Well, so, and also
it's
like,
almost like a bottle episode. Well,
it kind of is. And yeah, there's no Miranda awkward line. Like, there's no real
Miranda,
like,
is a very grounding person in the show. I think that's a loss.
And from what I know of Samantha's character, she's usually kind of on top, right?
She's literally and figuratively
domineering, whereas here she's kind of in a,
it's like her personality is pegging all the characters around her.
This was a lackluster episode. It almost is like, because it's
Charlotte's the only one who's coming out even remotely on top.
Yes,
I do her like storyline is bit.
Yeah, the only one that's kind of progressing.
I think the one that was supposed to be the biggest one for the episode is Carrie, obviously. But at the same time, Carrie's line still felt more like fluff than Charlotte's. I think that Charlotte was the most compelling one, character-wise. Yeah.
Definitely. And then this is the episode before the season finale, so I feel like a lot of the finale is going to kind of...
Yeah, table set.
Mm-hmm. This is all build up. It's all just... We're getting ready for the last one, but what are your thoughts?
I mean, I feel like I just said them.
Okay. Well.
I specifically was not looking forward to this episode. I don't hate it, but like, I wouldn't choose to watch it if I was going through old episodes.
Yeah. That's all you need.
It's just kind of an awkward one, unfortunately.
But no matter how much you love it, like, we all have our favorite shows. There's always those episodes that you avoid.
No, that you are specifically like, I wouldn't choose to...
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I remember even when we watched this one off air by ourselves, because we do that, and...
We're very sad.
Even when we watched it, while we were doing the show, I was like, oh, man, when we do this episode... It's gonna not be fun.
Yeah, we'll have Steve on.
Yeah, we'll have Steve on. Yeah.
Who do we hate in the local OC comedy scene who's also not a fan of the show?
What comedian do we want to really tank the career of?
Yeah.
Steve Lardner? Are we thinking the same thing?
Where did it all go wrong for Steve? Have you seen season 5, episode 7 of Sex and the City? The train episode? He did a podcast on it.
It totally ruined
him. Totally ruined
him. He should have known better. He should have known. That's the train episode. Yeah,
he did a whole Amtrak story. It was shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody do the train episode. How many times do I have to say it? How many people's names? Wall of the Comedy Store. How many of them done a podcast on the train episode?
None.
Exactly.
And they probably never will.
Fuck them.
But on that...
No, please let me do it. Please let me do a 3-minute spot. I'll do it outside on the patio.
Well, you can only do it if it's about Sex and the City all 3 minutes.
The train episode.
Mm-hmm. You gotta go.
I feel like I could do an hour on the train episode after sitting through that shit.
We just did an hour on the train episode, so clearly it's possible. Whether or not it should happen, it's like the atomic bomb. Can you do it? Yeah. Should you do it? Don't know about that.
What an analogy. Spot on.
Right, it's all about like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. Too busy thinking about if you could, instead of thinking about if you should.
Man's reach exceeds his grasp.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
What a
hubris.
Profound note.
Yeah.
On that note, Steve, throw out that social media.
Yeah, at Steve underscore Lardner on Instagram.
You should spell Lardner.
Oh, I should, yeah.
Because your accent was real thick when you said it there.
Mm-hmm. Lardner is Lardner. Desperately trying to get the Instagram for just at Steve Lardner.
Ah, somebody else owns it.
Very frustrating. A man with one follower and one post.
Really? And you've already hit him up and said, yo, give it to me,
I've already hit
cunt.
Him up. I've already fucked his wife. It's a whole thing. But
maybe try the daughter next.
Ah, yeah.
Very frustrating. Anyway, catch me on Instagram, Steve Lardner on Twitter.
Nice. Well, obviously, guys, also follow us on the liner notes. Wherever you get podcasts, rate and subscribe. And until next week, we're going to be talking so much more off air about Sex and the City.
Just to prepare ourselves for the season finale.
Mm-hmm. All right. Peace out, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.